It happened one day that a very unhappy and disgruntled woman had finally made a decision to stop going to church. She had been very active in the parish and very involved, but just couldn't take it anymore. And not wanting to have the pastor wonder why things were as they were, she decided to go and take a visit with him and explain to him why she was leaving. She said, "You can take my name off the census. I'm not going to participate in anything anymore. You're not going to see me at Mass. I'm done." He said, "Okay, why?" She said, "I've had it with all the hypocrites in church. Everybody comes Sunday after Sunday, and they look and act one way at church, but then they act totally different outside the church. They might be Christians on Sunday, but they're not the rest of the week. I'm tired of all the gossiping that goes on. I'm tired of all the noise in church. I'm tired of discomfort. Sometimes it's too hot, sometimes it's too cold, sometimes the mic is too loud, sometimes it's not. I'm just tired of everything. It's doing me more harm than good. I think I can pray better at home and just worship Jesus there. It's me and him by ourselves. I can pray better at my house by myself." "Okay," the pastor said, "I see your point. But before you go, there's a ritual that you need to do." She said, "Okay, what? Wait right here." So he goes to the kitchen of the rectory, takes a very large bowl, and he fills the bowl with water, and he puts it on his desk. He says, "I want you to take this water and walk around the church 3 times with it, then come back and give it to me." She looked at him kind of funny, but she figured it was part of something she had to do, so she said, "Okay, I'll do that." And she did. "Be careful," he said. "Bring back the same amount of water. Let none spill out." So she did, very carefully. She's watching very closely at the bowl so that none of it would spill out, and she began to walk around the church 3 times as she was supposed to do. So as she finished, there was a little boy who was playing in the churchyard who saw her there, and he came up to her and asked her what was in the bowl. And she said, "It's water." He said, "Oh, good. It's hot and I've been thirsty playing outside. Can I have a drink?" And she said, "Sure, I don't see why not." So she gave him some of the water and he drank and went on his way. So then the lady brings the bowl of water back to the pastor's office and she puts it on his desk. So then the priest asked her, "Did you notice anything as you walked around the church?" "What do you mean?" she asked. "Well, did you see the cars passing by? Did you hear the birds in the trees? Did you see the maintenance man working around the church? Did you see anything?" "Oh, no," she said. "I was just looking at the water. I was so careful and so afraid I didn't want anything to spill out, so that's all I ever did. I didn't take my eyes off it, and I didn't see or hear anything else." "I see," said the pastor. "But there's some water missing from the bowl. It's not as full as it was when I gave it to you." "Oh, yeah," she said. "Whenever I finished, there was a little boy outside playing, and so he saw that I had the water, and he asked for a drink." So the pastor sat back and he smiled. He said, "And so it is when you have Christ in your hands and Christ in your heart. You always have to move slowly and pay very close attention to him that you don't lose what you have. You must keep him from being escapable, keep him from escaping from you. Pay very close attention to him and not pay any attention to any distractions that could cause you to lose him. Eventually, somebody's going to notice what you have and they're going to want you to share him with you, or have you share him with that person. So when you come to church, keep that in mind, that you're here to give yourself entirely to him, but also to give and share him to others who might thirst and ask." Well, after the woman heard that, she kind of put her head down in shame, realizing that she herself was the cause of, or the center of her universe. She herself was the center of her prayer. She was the center of her worship, not Christ and not others. So in a word, she had an epiphany. So then, what does Jesus want from us? Does he want gold or frankincense or myrrh? Not anymore. Those things were good in his own day, but there's something else that he wants from each and every one of us in order to give us his wisdom. The gold that we possess is our God-given abilities, our talents, any other gifts that we might have, including personal wealth, all these good things and blessings that are given to us by God that are to be put to his use, that we share the things that God has given us for the spread of the gospel, the good of the church, the benefit of the less fortunate, to use what we have, what God has given, to build a better community, to make a better world, to give to the less fortunate, and to see others as being greater than ourselves. That is gold in and of itself. The incense God is asking for is a life of prayer and penance, to be faithful to daily prayer, to offer up sacrifices, to attend Mass with devotion and, of course, attention, to read the words of Christ and meditate upon them and put those words of Christ into practice. And the myrrh that God is asking for is quite simply a conversion of life, a continual turning away from temptation, a turning away from our personal weaknesses and our sins, as St. Paul would put it, fighting the good fight, always dying to our sinful selves and rising, living in the sinless Christ who lives in us. As St. Paul would say, or the Psalms would say rather, in Christ from whom our strength shall come. That should be the epiphany for us, to be guided by Christ who is the guiding star, and to find him on the lap of Mary, the seat of wisdom. In sum, keep the focus, share the love, and you will shine more brightly than any star.